alive and being born again because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. Now, I just want to say this, that the world of a person that's not alive in God, a person that's not born again, is actually living life and living death at the same time, because their spirit hasn't been born again, hasn't been made alive. And so there's a lot of people in this world, brothers and sisters, that are walking around right now that are alive in the flesh, but yet their spirits are dead. And the day will come when actually the spirit will go on into eternity, and the people that don't have a live spirit will go on into eternity without Jesus Christ. And that is an existence in itself. One of the things that we always talk about is that we have eternal life when we are born again, when we become a Christian. And that is so true because of what Jesus Christ has done for us. But I also want to say that there will be people that will be existing also, but they will be existing in something called eternal death. It is an existence. It's not just the lights turning off. It's a separation from God and eternity away from God and an eternity in hell. And so there should be some urgency in the lives of everybody that knows Jesus Christ as their Savior, that's been born again because of the people that we love and the people that we're around. We want them to know. And if you're here today, we want you to know that you can be born again, that you can have eternal life. And as a matter of fact, one of the things that Jesus said to Nicodemus, he said, "Marvel not, but you must be born again." He actually said to Nicodemus, and he says to us all, that we must be born again. That's the way that we actually have eternal life, and that's what every one of us needs. That's what this world needs. One of the reasons why we're experiencing the kind of world that we live in right now is there's so many people that are living without Jesus Christ right now. And they're living without hope. And we're living in a world without hope. But I want to tell you something. Because of Jesus Christ, there is hope. And so we want to actually celebrate that today. And as Christians, we want to live that. We don't want to just say it. We want to live this eternal life. Which doesn't mean that we just go to heaven, but it means that the way that we live and the way that we go on. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 21, he said, "For me to live is Christ." And I just want to say, for every one of us to live is Christ. That is the way to live, is to be in Jesus Christ. That's where life really begins. And I just want you to look at with me, if you will, just for a second, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. And I want to just read a few verses there in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, and I want to read to you to verse 24. Listen to the Word of God today. The Word of God says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." I'm not ashamed of the gospel. There's nothing to be ashamed about. One of the things that we must do is not be ashamed of the gospel, but we must be proclaiming the gospel to a lost and dying world. What I want to do to you, to everybody here today, is I want to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to you for the sake of somebody today that maybe doesn't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. To everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." The Word of God tells us this is for everybody, for everyone. There's not one person that is left out of this message here. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." How do we live, Christians? We live by faith in Jesus Christ because His blood has delivered us from our sins. He died for our sins and He rose again. And we have newness of life now because of that. So we live by faith. Because then it goes on and says, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven." The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it to them. And I just want you to hear what the Word of God is saying to us right now. It's telling us that no matter what a person might say or no matter what a person might think, the Bible tells us that God has shown His glory to every last single individual. He will. Some people say, "Well, he never really spoke to me," but I want to tell you something. You're hearing through His Word today, Him speaking to your soul. And what He's saying to our souls is that He is real and He's manifested Himself to you. Every time that we look at a sunset, every time that we look at something like the ocean or something like that, it reminds us that there's a Creator, doesn't it? We don't worship the earth. We don't worship the ocean, those kind of things. But we worship the one that spoke those things into existence. And then it goes on and says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen. You see it, I see it, everybody sees it. Many people deny that they need to be born again, but they can't deny that a creator has created the place that we live in. And so therefore, there is nobody, no one, that has an excuse whenever they stand before God in that day and when he comes back. The invisible things of him are shown from the creation of the world, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So, the Bible tells us they are without excuse. There will be nobody that stands in front of Jesus Christ and says, you didn't tell me. He says it every day by the breath that goes in our lungs, by the blood that runs through our veins, by the family that we have, the children that we have, all of those things, the good things that come through our life. It's a constant reminder that God has created us and that he wants to have a relationship with us, and he's made a way for us to be with him forever. And then verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. One of the things that happens now is even though that God shows himself to everybody in this world, there are so many people that rather than acknowledging the fact that God is the creator, they don't want him to be in charge of their life, because it says here, once they knew God, they wouldn't glorify him. There's a lot of people out there that say, I don't want to glorify God. I don't want God to be in charge of my life. But what other options do we have? And not only that, the best option, and when I talk about life being precious, is the best option is actually having the one who created life to give us life. And that would be the best life, wouldn't it? But it says, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. This darkening is not God doing this to these people. It is their pride. The pride of every person that says, I will not subject myself to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even though Paul says, I'm not ashamed of it. It's the thing that has the ability to change me. It's the thing that had the ability to change me. Jesus Christ has changed us. There's nothing for us to be ashamed about. And then it goes on and says, they wouldn't glorify him. They were neither thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts were darkened, which is a very sad place to be. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made to corruptible man and to birds and to four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. The Word of God is telling us something really important here. It's telling us two things. Thing number one, it's telling us is that we are to surrender to a creator, God, Jesus Christ. We're to surrender to him and let him be the savior of our souls. But it also tells us that there's many people that have this thing called a free will. They have a choice. Every one of us has a choice. But when we look at the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross and shed his blood for us to give us eternal life and for us to have a relationship with him, and all we have to do is to trust him and ask him to be our Savior, knowing that he will save us, why would we not choose him? And let me tell you something. When we see this here, we know that Jesus Christ has already chosen us. But he does not force himself on anybody. He willingly says, here I am. He says, marvel not, you must be born again. And that's why we see that in the Word of God. With that being said, listen to this. This is so important today. Salvation is the greatest miracle that any one person will ever experience. Salvation is the greatest miracle that anybody will ever experience. You know, we've seen a lot of different miracles. We've seen people healed of different things. We've seen in our worst day where we were wondering how we were going to get through the day, and then God would come through and we go, wow, it was a miracle how God got me through there. But what I want you to know is the fact that the moment that someone asks Jesus Christ to be their Savior and he changes them on the inside and he makes their spirit alive, that is the greatest miracle that will ever happen to anyone. Praise the Lord. That happened to me, and that's happened to most of us. And if you haven't been born again, today could be the day that you be saved as well. That's for sure. And so, as we look at this, I just want us to all, as we get ready to actually have communion today and to come before the table in communion today, I want us to realize the miracle that took place in your own soul. How Jesus Christ saved you from your sins and gave you newness of life. And how, because He's done this and because He has saved us, He's given us life. He's taken us from death unto life. Today we saw somebody that was baptized. And in their baptism, they were demonstrating what had already took place when they said, Jesus, save me. I'm a sinner. I'm lost. And I need you to save me. And please forgive me of my sins. And then they asked Him to save them. And He did what? He saved them. He saved her today. And then today she demonstrated that by just showing in a testimony how she died to her sins and rose to newness of life. That's what baptism shows today. And brothers and sisters, that's what we all live once we are born again. And I want us to stop and really celebrate that. With that being said, I just want us to just stand for 1 second. And Brother Tom, will you come up here and lead us in a prayer? We're going to have several prayers today as we go through there. But will you lead us in prayer today?
John the Baptist declared as he saw you coming towards him, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The only one who can take away our sins. The only one through which we may have salvation and be brought from death unto life, to be forgiven, and to cover our sins to be atoned for. We thank you for that glorious Messiah. Thank you, Jesus, for going to the cross, taking the curse of our sin upon yourself, taking our sins to the grave. And we thank you, Lord, that that is not the end. We thank you, Lord, God, that you overcame death in the grave, and you rose victoriously over death in the grave. Father, grace and mercy unto all of us human beings, Lord. Reveal to us, Lord, that we too, each one of us, can grab hold of salvation that can be found in you. We can find a new birth, be born again, and be regenerated through the Holy Spirit and through your glorious, sinless blood. Thank you, Jesus. Make this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
You may be seated. Today, we proclaim that we are one with Jesus Christ and that we are alive spiritually because of Jesus Christ, but by His shed blood for our sins. But let me ask you a question today. As we know Jesus Christ as our Savior, where are the changed lives? There needs to be a demonstration to the lost and dying world that we are a changed creation. Where is the demonstration of the fellowship that we have with Him each and every day? These are the challenges that all of us have as a Christian, as we share the gospel with the lost and dying world. We need to have a fire in our hearts for God's ways. Not just an attendance in church from time to time, but there needs to be a fire that is building in our hearts for God's ways. The reason why there needs to be this fire in our hearts for God's ways is because there's so many people still that need to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And the way that they will see it is not from me just saying so, not just reading it in God's Word, but it from showing in your life and showing in my life. And so there needs to be a fire that's building in our hearts. We build this fire in our hearts by being in God's Word. And we have this fire in our hearts by being people that are bathing our lives in service and prayer and giving Jesus Christ everything. He's given us everything. We should be willing to give Him everything in order to actually have Him work in us. I listened to a song this morning on the way to church and talking about how Jesus takes us out of the natural and takes us into the supernatural. And that's what He does by working in us. When we are born again, our spirits are regenerated and the Holy Spirit lives in our hearts. There should be a fire that's burning in our hearts for Him. There should be a burden. Brothers and sisters, do you have a burden in your heart today for lost souls? Do you have a burden for lost souls? Is there a desire in your heart to tell somebody about Jesus Christ? All of us need to pray today that we will have a fire in our hearts and a burden on our hearts to share the gospel with somebody, not just for somebody to come to church. And this is one of the problems that we're having. A lot of people go, I don't want to just go to church because I don't even understand. What they need to understand is it's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And we get our batteries charged here. We get the fire built in our hearts by God's Word and being together and serving Jesus. We need to be people that are involved in what the Bible tells us is making disciples. We call it discipleship. This is actually sharing our faith with somebody else and leading somebody else to Jesus Christ. And as we lead them to Jesus Christ, then we share God's Word with them and we help them to grow. And we reproduce what we are doing for Jesus, we reproduce in them. Listen to Acts chapter 17 and verse 6. Acts chapter 17 and verse 6 says this, "And when they could not find them," and this is talking about Paul and Silas here, "and when they couldn't find, they dragged Jason and some of the brothers before the city authorities, shouting, 'These men who have turned the world upside down have come here also.'" What were they saying about the disciples in the Word of God? What were they saying about them? They said that they had turned the world upside down. And what I want to tell you right now is for every one of us that knows Jesus Christ as our Savior, once again, it's time for us to turn the world upside down. We know that this world has been turned upside down the wrong way. Now we need to see the world turned upside down the correct way. In other words, the way that they were living their faith was not just going to church, but it was rattling the entire world with their faith. And that's the same kind of God that we serve now. Acts chapter 1 verse 8 says this, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, and to the end of the earth." The Word of God tells us that we have been empowered. We've been taken out of the natural and into the supernatural because of the Spirit being alive in us. We've been taken out of the natural and into the supernatural, and we've been empowered, brothers and sisters, to be witnesses to a lost and dying world. We actually have power to do this. What I want to tell you today and ask you today, do you experience that power on a daily basis? Some people say that I'm afraid to share the gospel with someone. I'm afraid to share my faith. You shouldn't be afraid. We should not ever be afraid. We should not be ashamed of the gospel. There is power in us to be able to share the Word of God. What I want to challenge you today is to, by faith, take God up on that challenge of the power that He says that He's given us and share the gospel with somebody as soon as possible. 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18 says, "So we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day." Every day we live our lives and our flesh gets older, but every day that we serve Jesus Christ, we get newer and fresher and closer to heaven every day. That should bring comfort to us, and it should also challenge us because we want this for every person. And so then it goes on and says, "For this light, momentary affliction," this body that just won't work the way that it used to, right? And some of the young people are sitting here going, "It's still working pretty good. Just hang on," right? "But for this momentary affliction is preparing for us an eternal weight of glory beyond all comparison, as we look not to the things that we have seen, but to the things that are seen. What I want to challenge us to do is not just live life every day and whatever happens and taking it as it comes, but to actually live according to the Word of God, knowing that Jesus Christ is returning soon and He's going to be taking us home with Him. We need to live with that kind of expectancy, don't we? For the things that are seen are transient, but the things that are unseen are eternal. I'm living eternally. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're living eternally as well. Join me in prayer, please. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank You so much for saving our souls. And Lord, I pray that because You have saved our souls, that You will light a fire in our souls. And Lord, that we will not be ashamed of the gospel, but we will share Your word with everybody that we can. Lord, I pray that there will be a sense of urgency in our souls, Lord, for those that need to hear the gospel. Lord, I pray there will be an urgency in our lives to live the gospel, Lord, to where people can actually see the power that You work in us, Lord. We know that You've empowered us to share the gospel, and Lord, I pray that we'll be people that turn the world upside down with Your gospel. We ask these things in Jesus' name, amen. In John chapter 6, verse 63, the Word of God says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and in life." And so the Spirit gives us life. Our flesh doesn't help us. And so we are to live spiritually. And the way that we live spiritually is according to the Word of God. John chapter 15, verse 7 says, "If you abide in Me and My words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." There is so much power of God that's at our disposal to where we can serve Jesus Christ. And He abides in us and we abide in Him and we serve Him. And it goes on and says, "By this My Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit and so prove to Me to be My disciples." How do we know that we're disciples of Jesus Christ? Because we say so? Because the Word of God tells us so? Well, by faith that we actually act upon that, but the way that we mostly know it is because of the fruit that comes from our lives as we serve Jesus Christ. This is how we know that we're disciples, brothers and sisters. And so we want today, as we talk about Jesus Christ, we want Him to be a part of our lives. Whenever we pass the bread out, when we pass the bread out and we eat the bread, it means that we are consumed with Jesus Christ. We take Him in, and Jesus Christ is in us, and we're in Him, and everything about us is service towards Jesus Christ. That's what this actually represents today. And so today I'm going to ask the servers if they'll come forward, and we'll actually get the bread passed out at this point in time.